sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. A comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite shows. Radio, oh, why did you ever go? Oh, won't you please come back and entertain us? I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you so.
Once again, it's time for Yesteryear. A look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Time once again to settle into your favorite easy chair for another hour of vintage radio. Later on, we'll enjoy the adventures of Sherlock Holmes with The Night Before Christmas. But first, let's head on down to Summerfield and spend some time with the great Gildersleeve. The Great Gildersleeve was created by Harold Perry while working on Fibber McGee and Molly in Chicago. The character became so popular that, in August of 1941, Gildersleeve broke away for his own program on NBC. As the program approached its 10th anniversary, Harold Perry, who created the role of Gildersleeve, tired of it and eventually dropped out. Perry's last program was in 1950. When the program returned from vacation in September of that year, Willard Waterman stepped in as the Great Gildersleeve. His interpretation was so much like Perry's, it was startling. For the 1954-55 season, The Great Gildersleeve was a daily 15-minute offering, with each episode loosely connected. The program returned to 30 minutes in 1955, where it continued on Thursdays till 1958. Return with us now to those fabulous days of yesteryear with The Great Gildersleeve Christmas Program from December of 1942. Another classic radio program from the audio vault of yesteryear.
Major Bowes, I miss the shadow nose, Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent, then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Bert and Marge, Amos and Andy. I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, vodio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you so.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
Kraft Cheese Company will also bring you Bing Crosby every Thursday night. Present each week at this time, Harold Perry as The Great Gildersleeve, written by John Wheaton. Now let's join our friend, The Great Gildersleeve. With December almost gone, he's been working like a beaver the past few days, trying to get out the annual report of the Water Department. That's why we find him now in his office, asleep at 9 o'clock in the morning, with his head buried in the annual report and his arms sprawled across the blotter. While through his troubled dreams run thoughts of this happy holiday season.
They must get at that Christmas card list, Uncle Moe.
All right, Marjorie.
Model airplane. That's all I want for Christmas, a model airplane.
I know, Leroy, I know.
How about that annual report, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Right away, Miss Fitch.
How many for Christmas dinner, Miss Gildersleeve? Can't order till I know how many.
Give me a chance, Bertie.
Just because I'm giving you a present, Throckmorton, I don't want you to think you have to give me a present.
Oh, Leela, I almost forgot.
Have you bought the tree?
Tree?
Have you bought the mistletoe?
Wait a minute.
Have you forgotten anybody?
Wait!
Mr. Gildersleeve?
What do you want?
We regret to inform you that federal regulations require payment for all charge purchases on or before the 10th of the month.
Oh, go away, all of you. Christmas, I hate it.
Oh, Mr. Gildersleeve. Oh, my goodness, what's happened? Mr. Gildersleeve, he's still warm.
Go away, go away.
Wake up.
Miss Fitch, let me see, where were we? Afraid I dozed a little there. Dear sir, read that back to me, will you?
Mr. Gildersleeve, it's morning.
Morning? Is there anything strange about that?
Only that you slept here all night.
I did? Oh, I must apologize, Miss Fitch. I'm afraid I need a shave. Oh, and the suit looks as if I'd slept in it. Oh, well, let's finish this report and get it over with, huh?
But you haven't even had breakfast.
Breakfast can wait, for once. Will you check these figures as I read them off?
Yes, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Thank you. Statement of financial status. Cash on hand, $386.52.
Check.
Accounts receivable, $2,873.38.
Check.
Interest, $139.10.
Check.
Marjorie, negligee, and slippers. Lila Ransom, passion flower. There must be something wrong here.
I think there must.
Yes, I guess I must have got to thinking about something else during the night. Silly, wasn't it?
Yes.
Perhaps I should explain, Miss Fitch. I was thinking about my Christmas list.
So I assume.
Yes. Perhaps I should explain further, Miss Fitch. Passion flower is the name of a perfume.
I know. I use it exclusively myself.
Oh, maybe I better give it a little more thought then. You know, Miss Fitch, I had the most awful dream last night.
I don't wonder.
Yes, I dreamed that I hadn't done a bit of Christmas shopping, which I haven't. But I also dreamed that it was the day before Christmas. I want to tell you, I was frantic.
Mr. Gildersleeve, I don't want to spoil your dream, but it is the day before Christmas.
What? It can't be.
But it is.
What happened to all those other days? There's a whole week I've lost track of.
You've been working too hard. You've been going around here in a fog.
Oh, but I haven't bought a single present. I haven't had breakfast. I haven't even had a shave. This is really going to be one of my bad days.
Come right in, Mr. Gildersleeve. You're next. No waiting.
Good morning, Floyd.
Gee, Mr. Gildersleeve, you look like the grapes are ripe.
Yes, I had a hard night last night, Floyd.
What happened? Did you run into some friend?
No. I worked all night at the office.
That's what they all say.
I told you, Floyd, I worked all night at the office.
Okay. You worked all night at the office.
I haven't had any breakfast either, so let's skip the conversation and make it a quick shave.
All right, Mr. Gildersleeve, if that's the way you want it, that's the way it'll be. This is one place where the customer is always right.
That's fine.
If a man comes in here and doesn't feel like talking, that's all right with me. I can take a hint.
Good.
One thing I know how to do is hold my tongue. I'm not like some barbers. You go into their shop and they talk your ear off from the time you get into the chair to the time you get out of it.
Good.
I want people to feel they can come in here and just relax and not have to listen to a whole lot of stuff.
Fine.
Not that I haven't got my troubles like everybody else, but I keep them to myself.
Good.
Now, like last night, I came home after a long day and my wife had dinner waiting for me, ham hocks and sauerkraut. So we had that and some apple pie, and after dinner I took off my shoes and turned on the radio. I was just getting comfortable and my wife's sister called up. And what do you think she wants? Come right over and play pinochle. Well, if you know my wife's sister. So I said to my wife, I said, nothing doing. I said, I'm all set here, I'm comfortable, and right here is where I'm staying.
Good.
I said, you couldn't move me out of here with a 10-ton truck. So we went over and played pinochle for a while, and then in comes... Oh, come in, Judge, come in. Just finishing up with Miss Gildersleeve here.
He hasn't even started on me yet.
Why, I'll have you shaved in two shakes.
See that you don't, brother.
I thought I'd find you here, Gildersleeve.
How are you, Judge? What's on your mind?
I just dropped in to serve notice on you, Gildersleeve, that after your recent performance, I'm not giving you any remembrance this Christmas. And please do not embarrass me by giving me any. Good day.
Good day. Wait a minute. I don't know what you're talking about, Horace. I haven't seen you in a week. I've been very busy.
Yeah, I'll say you've been busy. Busy over at Mrs. Ransom's.
Judge, I haven't even had time.
Don't deny it. The minute I told you I'd bought a ring, you went scurrying over there to try to cut me out. Was that the act of a friend?
Well, Judge, the best laid plans of mice and men, gang after glay. Yeah. That's Scotch. What's the matter? Did she turn you down?
Wouldn't you like to think so? Well, she didn't. She merely asked for time to consider.
It's the same thing. If she considers it, she won't do it. When is she giving you her answer, Judge?
As soon as she gets back from Savannah.
Savannah? Now, that'll show you how innocent I am, Judge. I didn't even know she was going to Savannah.
Now, don't try to give me that. You know as well as I do that she's going home to see her brother.
On my word, Judge. I told you I've been busy this week. I haven't seen anybody.
I don't know what your game is, Gildy, but this time it isn't going to work. I know all about Leela's plans, and I intend to be out at that airport today at 12 sharp to see her off.
So do I, Judge, and thanks for the tip. 12 o'clock at the airport, is it? Well, if it hadn't been for you, I might have missed saying goodbye to her.
Gildersleeve, I've borne a lot from you, but this is the last straw. You now place me in the unpleasant position of having to ask you hereafter to do me the favor not to speak to me.
Oh, anything for a friend, Judge. You know that.
Floyd, Merry Christmas.
Bye, Judge. Same to you.
Floyd, get going. I got a lot of ground to cover between now and Christmas. I wonder if I'm in time. I wonder if she's left yet. Leela, have you left yet?
Well, of all people, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Leela, why didn't you tell me you were going away?
I didn't suppose you'd care whether I came or went after the way you treated me last Saturday.
I can explain that, Leela. You see?
Please, don't bother. I'm hardly in the habit of having gentlemen run out on me without so much as a by your leave.
Leela, let's talk this over. Aren't you going to invite me in?
Well, if you're going to break my door down, I suppose I'll have to. But I'm leaving right away. I've got all my bags packed, and I'm expecting a gentleman to call for me any minute.
I know. Hooker.
I'm not saying who it is, but he's more of a gentleman than you are.
Leela, about last Saturday, Bertie came back unexpectedly, and I had to go down to the station to meet her.
Did you ever come back?
But Leela...
Did I ever hear a word from you all week?
But I haven't had a minute. I've had to get out the annual report of the water department. And if you know what that means...
I know what it means. It means you care more for your old waterworks than you do for me. All I can say is I'm glad I'm going away.
Oh, now, Leela.
I'm glad. I'm glad.
Leela, don't be like that. Leela. Help. Somebody help. Look, Leela, I bought you a present.
You brought me a what?
A present. A Christmas present. You see, it's got Santa Claus on it. You see, he's waving to you. Go on, wave to Leela, Santa.
Oh, Throckmorton, you're such a fool. And you didn't forget, did you?
Forget? How could I forget after what happened the last time I saw you?
What happened, Throckmorton?
Don't you remember?
Certainly. I just wanted to see whether you remember.
By George, if there were any mistletoe around here, I'd show you whether I remember or not.
You have to have mistletoe? Oh, gracious, it must be time to leave.
Oh, Leela, don't go to Savannah. It's not patriotic to travel now.
Oh, but I have to, Throckmorton. My only brother Marvin is leaving for the Navy.
Oh.
Leela, we haven't got any time to lose.
Come in, George. Oh, you were so sweet to call for me,
Judge. Not at all, not at all. A pleasure.
My bag's already here, and I have a nice surprise for you. Throckmorton's coming to the airport with us.
Yeah.
Well, I hope he's got his car. I'm afraid there won't be room in mine.
Tell the judge we wouldn't think of crowding him, Leela. You can come with me, and he can take the bags.
Oh, yeah? Well, you tell Gildersleeve for me.
Nonsense. Now, we can all ride in one car. We'll put the bags in back and all ride in the front seat.
Leela, you either overestimate my seat or you underestimate Gildersleeve.
All right, let him take the bags up front with him. You and I'll ride him back, Leela.
Oh, no.
Now, we're going to be late. Who's going to carry out my bags?
I've got them.
Yeah, I'm not. I got this one first. Now, let's go. Oh,
boys, no fight now, you hear?
Oh,
Throckmorton gets to carry the suitcase and the hat box, and Horace gets the overnight cape.
Oh, Throckmorton gets everything.
Say, don't forget your present, Leela.
Oh, gracious, Throckmorton's present. I'll pick it up when you come. Where's it, Judge?
This thing?
Be careful of that hooker.
Come on, come on. The plane leaves in half an hour.
Flight 37 to Savannah. All passengers aboard, please.
That's you, Leela. That's your plane.
Oh, my goodness, I'm so excited. You know, I've never been in a flying machine before in my life.
I've got a good notion to come with you, Leela.
Oh, I wish you could.
Yeah, I think I'll stow away on the plane.
I'll bet you would, too, Throckmorton.
That blimp? There isn't room to stow him away on the B-19.
No, look here, Hooker.
Boys, this is Christmas Eve. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men.
Well, he started it.
I don't care who started it. I want you both to promise me one thing before I go.
What's that?
Promise me you'll both be friends while I'm gone. Come on now, shake hands. Shake hands, Throckmorton. Come on.
Well, all right.
That's better. Now you write to me every day, you hear?
I will, Leela.
I'll write twice a day.
So will I.
No, you won't.
I will too.
Now. Oh, you're so impulsive, you boys. I want you to do me another favor.
Anything you say, Leela.
I want you both to spend Christmas together just thinking about me.
Mrs. Ransom?
Yes?
We're holding the plane for you.
For me? Oh, how nice. I'll be right along. Oh, my. Isn't he handsome in his uniform and all? I wonder if he's going, too.
Goodbye, Leela.
Oh, goodbye, Throckmorton.
I'll be waiting for your answer, Leela.
Oh, yes.
Now, remember, you two, you're going to be good friends. And don't you dare open your presents till Christmas, you hear?
Mrs. Ransom, the plane is waiting.
Oh, my goodness. I'm in such demand here. I hardly know what I'm doing.
Just come with me, please.
With you? Oh, you know, Captain, this is my first trip on a flight.
Captain, I'll bet he's not even a sergeant.
Have a pleasant trip, Leela.
Yes, she will.
Well, there she goes.
Yeah, she'll soon be 5,000 feet in the air.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, dearie me. Now, isn't that too bad?
What?
Something I forgot to give her.
Huh?
Your Christmas present for Leela, I'm still carrying.
Oh!
The Great Gildersleeve will be with us again in just a few seconds.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
Now let's see what's happened to the Great Gildersleeve. After a frantic 3-hour battle in Hogan Brothers department store, he bursts out of the store with his arms full of bundles and his hat over his ear.
Christmas. There ought to be a law against Christmas.
Oh, there, Gildersleeve. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Dr. Pettibone. If you see anything the matter with me, please keep it to yourself till after the holidays.
But you're looking fine, old man. I was going to remark on it.
Oh, do you think so?
Never saw you looking better. Maybe those old arteries are beginning to soften for a change.
Pettibone, I'm in no mood for the humor of the dissection room.
Oh, come, come, Gildersleeve. A cheery smile will do more for your digestion than all the Epsom salts in the world. Come on, Gildersleeve. Let me hear you say ha-ha.
Ha-ha.
You can do better than that. Come on. Ha-ha-ha. That's better.
Yeah.
That's enough now. That's fine. Just keep smiling, and your gastric juices will thank you.
My goodness. Let me see now. I got a present for everybody except Judge Hooker. That's fine. Hi, George. It's beginning to feel like Christmas. Yeah. Hooker. I wonder if I should break down and get Hooker a present. After what he pulled on me this afternoon... I know, but maybe he really did forget to give Leela that package. After all, this is Christmas. No time to bear a grudge. He isn't going to give me a present, though. I heard him say so. Yeah, but you can't trust him, Gildersleeve. He's just sneaky enough to go and do it. I could give him a little present, not a very good one. I could stop in here and get him something kind of cheap at the drugstore. I think I will.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas just like you were. Oh, hello, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Hello, Peavy. I didn't know that you were musically inclined, Peavy.
Well, now, I wouldn't go so far as to say that. I do find myself humming a tune occasionally when I'm alone here in the shop.
Oh, well, you know what they say. It's music makes the world go round. Or is it love?
Did you ever listen to this fellow Crosby, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Crosby? Oh, yes, yes.
Quite a singer.
One of the best. As a matter of fact, I've been compared to him once. Well, I was.
Usually, I like to listen to him on Thursday night. So does Mrs. Peavy.
Oh, Mrs. Peavy's a music lover, too, huh?
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, one of the things I'm giving her for Christmas is an album of records. Selections by John Philip Sousa.
Yes.
He happened to be playing at the Steel Pier when we were on our honeymoon.
Oh. Well, between Crosby and Sousa, you can't go wrong. Hey, maybe you can help me out, Peavy. I came here to find a Christmas present.
Oh, something for a friend?
Well, I don't know that he's a friend, but I got to get him something.
Well, I dare say we can find something suitable, Mr. Gildersleeve. Now, let's see.
It doesn't have to be too suitable.
Well, what sort of thing does your friend like?
He doesn't even have to like it. It just has to be a present.
Well, that makes it rather difficult. If you could give me some idea.
Well, I'll tell you. I'm buying it for Judge Hooker.
Judge Hooker? Well, it's a small world, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Oh, is it, Peavy?
Would you believe it? Judge Hooker was in here not over an hour ago selecting a present for you.
Oh, so this is the kind of place he comes to buy me presents, is it?
I think you have a pleasant surprise in store for you, Mr. Gildersleeve. This gift is not the sort of thing you'd expect to find in a drugstore.
I'd like to know anything you couldn't expect to find in a drugstore. Tell me, Petey, what did he buy me?
I'm afraid I couldn't tell you that. Professional ethics, you know.
But I want to know how good a present to buy him. At least you can tell me how much it cost.
No, but I believe I can say, without betraying any confidence, that it was under $5.
Good. Now we're getting someplace. What have you got for an old goat that costs less than $5?
Well, I've got a special on a fountain pen set here.
Huh?
You see, it says double-barreled, self-filling, iridium point, streamlined glucite case, special patented clip, indestructible, guaranteed to last till eternity.
Is it any good?
It's all right. You can't expect everything for $3.98.
Yes, you say it's guaranteed to last till eternity. Well, how long is that? 10 years?
Well, no, I wouldn't say that.
5 years?
If you don't drop it. Of course, if you don't care for the fountain pen, I have other things. I have an 8-day clock here, but the thing about that is...
I know, you have to wind it too often. Now, I'll take the fountain pen. May not last forever, but neither will Hooker.
I suppose you'd like it wrapped as a gift.
Wrapped as a gift? What does that mean?
Take the price tag off.
Oh, yeah, wait a minute. Does this pen cost more than the present the judge is giving me, or less?
Well, the pen is slightly more expensive.
Then leave the tag on it. I'll just take it as it is. Charge that, will you, Peavy? Hogan Brothers got all my money.
Well, glad to, Mr. Gildersleeve. I hope you have a Merry Christmas.
Same to you, Peavy, and the same to Mrs. Peavy. You know, Leroy, maybe it's this green bulb that's making the trouble.
You do look a little tired.
Why don't you unscrew the bulb and stick the screwdriver in there?
Oh, never do that, my boy. You'd blow out every fuse in the house. Besides, you can get a nasty shock that way.
Well, that's what the electrician did when he fixed the lights last year. I saw him.
Well, those electrician fellows are immune to electricity. Let me have that other bulb there, will you, Bertie?
Yes, sir. You know, Mr. Gildersleeve, when my vacuum cleaner starts acting up, I got a sure cure for it.
Well, a vacuum cleaner is not like a light circuit, Bertie.
Well, maybe not. But to me, all them electrical things is about the same. Goes in there and comes out here, and you better stay out of the way.
Well, the trouble here doesn't appear to be the green bulb. What is your cure, Bertie?
Well, sir, I pull the plug out, turn it around, and I shake the bag 3 times and put the plug back. It ain't never failed yet.
Well, we tried everything else.
Yes, I can remember when we didn't bother with these electrical gadgets on Christmas trees. We just used candles. Set the house on fire every year, but it was a lot simpler. go ahead and let's try your system, Bertie.
All right. Stand back, Leroy. Now, pull the plug, turn it around, shake the cord. 1, 2, 3. Put the plug back.
Well, I'll be. Bertie, you're a genius. Mind you, come on in and see the beautiful tree.
Oh, it's beautiful. Let's turn off all the other lights and see how it looks. Hey, that's super. Oh, it's lovely. Isn't it, Uncle Moore?
Yes, it is. It's lovely.
That's the prettiest tree I ever saw in my life. Reminds me of the World Fair.
Well, it's not as big a tree as we've had other years, but when you think of all the people who aren't going to have any Christmas tree at all this year.
You know what gets me? Every year, Uncle Moore says, well, don't expect much this year, kids. We're going to have to cut down and just have a very small Christmas.
I know.
And every year seems like there's more presents than ever.
Oh, Uncle Moore, you've been so good to us. You've been like Santa Claus and Daddy and our favorite uncle. All rolled into one.
Yeah, you were a swell,
Uncle. Now.
I made some of them Christmas cookies special for you, Mr. Gildersleeve. Shall I bring them in?
Well, I can't think of a better time for Christmas cookies than right now, Bertie.
I'll go get them.
Yeah, cookies. I think I'm going to like this Christmas.
Hey, Uncle, can we open just one present, can we, huh?
Well, don't you think you ought to wait till Christmas, my boy?
Oh, but you always let us open just one. I'll pick a little one.
Well, all right, then. Just a little one.
Come on, Marge. You pick one of yours, and I'll pick one of mine.
Now, let's see what you got, please.
Gee, thanks, Uncle. War bonds. Just what I needed.
Not what you needed, maybe, but what the country needed. I know it may be something of a disappointment to you.
No, I think it's swell. I don't care if I didn't get a Model P-47 with a motor in it.
Well, it may mean that somebody else will get a real P-47 with a real motor in it. You have to think of that, my boy.
Yeah, I just wish I was a fellow who's going to fly it, that's all. Open yours, Marge. Let's see what you got.
I think I know. Is it, Uncle Moore?
Well, you open it and see.
You remember.
What you got there, Miss Marjorie?
Every year he gives me one. Listen. Oh, it's a darling one. I love music boxes. And I love Christmas. Merry Christmas, Uncle Mort.
Merry Christmas, my dear. Who's that?
I'll go. Maybe it's Santa Claus. Well, for goodness sake, come in, Judge.
Good evening, Bertie. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Judge.
Hello, Leroy.
Hi.
Hello, Marjorie.
Merry Christmas, Judge.
Would you be good enough to ask your uncle, Marjorie, whether he's in?
Ask the judge whether he's blind.
Oh, so that's your attitude. Well, you may recall, Throckmorton, that we gave a certain lady our promise that during her absence, we would be friends.
Yes, I recall it vaguely.
Well, I, for one, am a man of my word. It's customary for friends to exchange tokens this holiday season. For that reason, and for no other, I have brought you a slight gift. Here.
Oh. Well, now that you mention it, I have one for you. There.
Throckmorton. You old son of a gun.
Yeah. Horace, you old goat, you.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. By George, now it is a Merry Christmas.
Throckmorton, what do you say we open each other's presents, huh?
Okay. Let's do it.
I just can't wait. Oh. That everlasting fountain pen.
Ooh, that 8-day clock.
Throckmorton, I think Brother Peavy unloaded something on us.
Well, now, I wouldn't say that. On behalf of the cast of our program, I'd like to wish all of our listeners a very Merry Christmas and the happiest possible New Year. There are many of us for whom it'll be difficult to be merry this Christmas, with loved ones far away and families divided. But let's try to keep up the Christmas tradition for the sake of the men who are fighting to preserve it. And to those men also fighting in foxholes and slit trenches, on the sea and in the air, northeast, south, and west, we also send our Christmas good wishes. God bless you all. Good night, everybody.
Music heard on this program was composed and conducted by Billy Mills. This is Ken Carpenter speaking to the makers of Kraft Cheese and inviting you to tune in again next week for the further adventures of the Great Gildersleeve.
From December of 1942, it's been the Great Gildersleeve's Christmas program. When we return, the adventures of Sherlock Holmes with The Night Before Christmas, as this edition of Yesteryear continues.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
The adventures of Sherlock Holmes, the story of the world's most famous detective, came to radio in October of 1930 as a Monday night offering on NBC. The remarkable hero of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's classics was well suited to radio drama. No character enjoyed greater exposure at the hands of more artists. It seemed almost everyone wanted to try Holmes. Many got the chance. Holmes had the distinction of being the most revived major character of the airwaves. Although the programs varied greatly in casting and production, the formats didn't stray very far from that suggested so well by Conan Doyle writings. Holmes' trusted assistant, Dr. Watson, always told the stories, answering the questions put to him by staff announcers before and after the drama. Louise Hector, who enjoyed a brief run as Holmes in 1935, in fact played the arch-rival Moriarty through most of the run. Orson Welles had that part in the BBC-produced series that ran on NBC in 1955. But even after 70 years, the character of Holmes is what really turns the trick. In the end, that was what pushed those weekly visits to fog-shrouded Baker Street among the high points of radio. Return with us now to those fabulous days of yesteryear with The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes and The Night Before Christmas from December of 1945. another classic radio moment from the archives of yesteryear.
This episode from the life of Sherlock Holmes will be transmitted to our men and women overseas by shortwave and through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Basil Rathbone and Nigel Bruce, the new adventures of Sherlock Holmes. And now I'm sure our good friend Dr. Watson's waiting for us, so let's go in and join him.
There you are, Mr. Bartell.
Oh, say, Doctor, I can see you're going to have yourself quite a Christmas. Big tree in the corner with colored lights on it. Where'd you get those? Table covered with presents? You must be mighty popular.
They aren't all for me, my boy. You see, I'm having a Christmas party tomorrow for my housekeeper's little nieces.
Oh.
I'm going to dress up as Santa Claus for them.
Well, I'm sure you look very convincing in the part. Oh, by the way, Doctor, I brought you a little present.
Ooh,
here it is. I hope you'll like it.
Mr. Bartell, I've got one for you, too, here, Summer. You mustn't open it until tomorrow. Here, I'm a boy.
Thanks a lot, Doctor. And now, how's about tonight's story? Last week, you told us you'd chosen an adventure with a lot of Christmassy atmosphere.
Yes, Mr. Bartell. My story begins on another Christmas Eve many, many years ago. To be exact, in 1886. At the time the adventure occurred, I must confess I didn't quite understand what was going on myself. In fact, I never did quite make head or tails of it until Holmes took pity on me later and explained the whole thing. But I shan't try to confuse you, Mr. Bartell. I'll tell you the story exactly as it happened.
Right you are, Doctor. Let's go.
Very well. On that Christmas Eve in 86, I was standing in our Baker Street rooms dressed in the costume of Santa Claus. Holmes, his long, thin fingers pressed together, lay back in an armchair and gazed at me quizzically, while our housekeeper, Mrs. Hudson, stood by the door and...
Dr. Watson, you make a grand Santa Claus.
Doesn't he, Mrs. Hudson? Try the beard on, Watson, old chap.
I'm afraid it's going to be a little uncomfortable. How does it look?
Oh, you look just like the old man on the Christmas cards, Doctor.
Yes, Watson. It really becomes you. The cheery twinkle of the eyes, the ruddy complexion, and the appropriate girth. What a shame we can't obtain some snow on a sleigh and reindeer for you. However, I'm sure Mrs. Hudson's nieces will be very much impressed.
Well, they will that, sir. And it's very kind of you, Doctor, to offer to come over to their house with me. With her father in the hospital and my sister at his bedside, it would have been a very miserable Christmas without you.
Oh, I can enjoy myself, but I think I'll take this beard off before we get there. That's it. Are you ready to leave, Mrs. Hudson?
I am, sir. Will I get a cab?
How far do we have to go?
Oh, Lexington Gardens, number 28. It's just off the Edgware Road, Doctor.
Well, not far, but bearing in mind my costume, I suppose we'd better take a cab.
Aye, sir. I'll get one.
Holmes, what are you going to do with yourself? I hate leaving you alone on Christmas Eve.
Oh, don't worry, old chap. I shall spend a profitable evening writing on my new monograph.
Well, what's this one about?
An analysis of teeth marks on pipe stems, with particular regard to indicated character.
Oh, gracious me, how exciting. Well, I must be going.
Don't forget your sack of presents, old fellow.
No.
When you come to distribute them, you'll find that I took the liberty of adding a few trinkets on my own behalf.
Oh, that's very thoughtful of you, Holmes. Oh,
excuse me, Mr. Holmes, but there's a gentleman to see you. Says he's an old friend of yours. Here's his card, sir.
Oh, thank you. Oh, it's Lord Whittycombe. Splendid. Ask him to come up, please, Mrs. Hudson.
All right, sir.
And I hope your party is a great success, Mrs. Hudson.
Well, thank you, sir. Are you sure you don't want me to stay now that you have a visitor?
Oh, no. Indeed, no, Mrs. Hudson. I can show the gentleman out myself. You go off and have a good time.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, I wonder what Lord Whittycombe wants. Perhaps I should stay.
Please, my dear fellow. Certainly not.
What?
Yeah, you've far more important work to do. Whittycombe probably wants his revenge at chess. Or something equally innocuous. Off with you, my dear fellow, and enjoy yourself.
Oh, I better go. Just to say, I wish you were coming with me. I'll see you later.
I shall be there. Come on up, Whittycombe.
Hello, Holmes. Oh, evening, Watson. You make a very convincing Santa Claus. Are you leaving?
I'm afraid so, Lord Whittycombe.
Well, good night, then.
Good night, sir.
How are you, Holmes? All alone on Christmas Eve, eh?
Yes, Whittycombe, I'm glad you came over to see me.
Mm-hmm.
What's it to be, an evening of chess, or have you unearthed some recent treasure of medieval pottery that we can discuss?
Neither, Holmes. I've come to you in your professional capacity. I need help.
Oh, come now, Whittingham. Don't tell me that after all these years of quiet friendship, you're going to become a client.
I'm afraid so, Holmes. Though I doubt if my problem will interest you very much. It's hardly up to your rather colourful standards. Care for a cigar?
Oh, thanks. Well, now, my dear Whittingham, what's your trouble?
Well, I decided this year to have a little Christmas party at my townhouse. I'm quite comfortably off, as you know, and it occurred to me that I have several relatives and friends who are not as well off. I'm having a party for them tonight, Holmes, and I hope you'd attend it, disguised as Santa Claus.
Oh, my dear fellow, I've adopted many disguises in my time, but Father Christmas has never been one of them. Why do you want me to attend your party in disguise in any case? Are you ashamed of your friendship with a private detective, or do you consider my features more acceptable when buried beneath the depths of a snowy beard?
Oh, my dear Holmes, do take me seriously. I'm not joking, I assure you.
Of course you're not, of course you're not. You want me to attend your party in disguise. Why?
I'm giving some very valuable presents, diamond and onyx cufflinks, platinum and ruby earrings, and such like. And I've wrapped each of the presents in banknotes.
Oh, dear me. Where are these presents now?
In the sack, in charge of my butler. I was going to dress up as Santa Claus and give them out myself, until I got the warning letter. That's why I've come to you.
Warning letter, eh?
Yes. I received it by this evening's post. Listen to this. My dear Lord Whittingham, your generosity with Christmas presents borders on ostentation. We do not approve. Either we receive £5,000 in sovereigns at Post Restaurant, Box 379, by 6 o'clock on Christmas Eve, or I'm afraid your Christmas party will be conspicuous by its absence of presents.
Let me see that note, Whittingham, will you?
Yes, here you are.
Thanks. Plain paper, torn from a penny notebook. The writing is obviously disguised. By George, yes. Whittingham? I accept the case. I'll come with you to your party at once, and furthermore, I shall follow your suggestion regarding a disguise. Dressed as Santa Claus, I shall be less likely to attract suspicion.
I'm delighted, Holmes. But what made you decide so suddenly?
This writing, my dear fellow, this writing. Oh, it's in a false hand. I'd know that characteristic M in my dear Whittingham. I've seen it too often at the beginning of a signature. Moriarty.
Moriarty? Who's he?
Oh, one of the cleverest and most unscrupulous criminals in England. Whittingham, there's no time to be lost. It's, let me see now. 6:30. Half an hour beyond the deadline given you in this letter. We must go to your house at once.
This is as far as the cab can take us, Doctor.
Oh, here, cabby. Here's 5 shillings for you and a Merry Christmas.
Oh, bless you, gentlemen, and a Merry Christmas to you, too.
you said you wanted to get into the house through the back way so that you could surprise the children.
Yes, I thought come down the kitchen chimney.
Oh, you can get to the back of the house by going up the alley here. I'll go in the front door.
Splendid, Mrs. Hudson. Which is the house?
Number 28. It's the third one down the alley, Doctor. I'll have the back window open in no time, and you can slip in without any of the bairns seeing.
Very well. Gloomy little street, I must say. Hello? Well, where's the music coming from?
Oh, it's from that temple across the street, Doctor. The Disciples of the Octagonal Square, they call themselves.
What on earth do you suppose that means?
Oh, some newfangled cult. Heathens, most likely.
Hello. I'm not the only Santa Claus abroad tonight. Look at that fellow across the street over there.
Oh, dressed just like yourself, Doctor, and carrying a sack, too. Oh, he's running up the steps to the temple.
Great Scott, he slipped on the ice. Oh. I wonder what his hurry was. Here, my man. Let me help you now, sir.
Doctor. Didn't trip yourself.
Here you are, sir. Now, give me a hand.
Thank you, sir. Felly of me, wasn't it?
Oh, we Santa Claus have to help each other, you know. Up you come. That's it. Woo!
Doctor, I told you to be careful. Oh. Now you've fallen, too.
Oh, it's this confounded red coat of mine. It tripped me up. Oh.
Did you hurt yourself, sir?
No. I'm all right, I think. How about you, sir?
Well, I'm all right, thanks. Oh. Silly of me to run, wasn't it?
Here's your sack, sir.
Well, thank you. Good night, and Merry Christmas.
Same to you. Oh, he went into the temple. The disciple of the Octagonal Square.
You're sure you're no hurt, Doctor?
No, of course not, Mrs. Hudson. Give me my sack, please. Thank you. Your sister's house is the third one down this alleyway, you say?
I'll hurry and open the back window.
Yes, I'll be waiting for you, Mrs. Hudson. This is rather fun. What a shame Holmes isn't with us. Well, he probably happier having a good game of chess with Lord Willicombe.
This is my house, Holmes, number 39.
39 Bronson Square, eh? And dear old Watson is just around the corner in Lexington Gardens and hasn't any idea that I've left Baker Street.
Yes, here you are, Caddy.
Thank you, sir. Merry Christmas, sir.
Uh-huh. Listen to that. Carol singers.
Yes, we'll probably have our fill of them before this evening's over.
Good evening, my lord.
Have the guests arrived, Hargreave?
Most of them, sir. They're in the library. You brought another Santa Claus with you, I see, my lord.
Another Santa Claus? What do you mean?
The gentleman arrived 3/4 of an hour ago, sir, dressed as Santa Claus. I took him to your study, my lord, and showed him the sack of presents.
Confound it! He's got here before us. Where's the study?
This way. I hope I didn't do wrong, my lord. You told me that a gentleman dressed as Santa Claus would be coming here. Dear me. The gentleman appears to have gone.
Yes, and the sack containing the presents with him.
But he can't have left the house, my lord. I've been watching the front door.
Yes, and while you were doing that, he slipped out through the window here. The catch is undone. Hargrave, describe this man.
Well, I can't tell you much about his appearance, I'm afraid, sir. He was dressed as Santa Claus, just like yourself. But I did notice one thing about him, sir.
Oh, what was that?
He lisped, sir. It was quite pronounced.
Of course. Lou the Lisper.
Who on earth is Lou the Lisper?
One of Moriarty's most trusted accomplices. Fortunately, though, I've had news of him lately through my underworld grapevine.
You know where he lives?
He's reputed to have some connections with a new cult that calls themselves the Disciples of the Octagonal Square. Their headquarters are just around the corner from here.
Let's go there at once.
Of course, and Hargrave.
Yes, sir.
Get a message to Scotland Yard as fast as you can. Ask for Inspector Lestrade and tell him to join me at the Temple of the Octagonal Square in Lexington Gardens as soon as possible.
Oh, the children are awfully excited, Doctor. I told them you just came down the chimney.
Oh, I'll slip the beard on and then I'll go into them.
Will I announce you, Doctor?
Yes, please, Miss Hudson.
All right, sir.
Oh,
now, children, quiet. Santa Claus has come to see you and he's brought you all presents.
Hello, children.
Hello, Santa Claus. My name's Elsie. Did you bring me a present?
Oh, I did, Elsie. I look in my sack in a minute. And what's your name, young man?
Herbert, they call me Bertie. Did you come down the chimney?
Yes, Bertie.
I bet you had a time doing it. You're so fat.
Oh, don't be rude, Bertie, or Santa Claus wouldn't give you your present.
And what's your name, little man?
Maya, though. I've got a cold.
Yes, I see you have. Well, children, gather around me and I'll see what present I got for you.
The
first present is for... probably right. It says for Her Grace, the Dowager Duchess of Beaulieu.
Oh, do you suppose Mr. Holmes has been playing a practical joke on you, Doctor?
I suppose so, though I can't see the point myself. But he did say that he'd added a few trinkets of his own.
I want my present.
Then supposing you take this, Elsie.
Oh, thank you.
And this one is marked for the Reverend Arthur Carter. Okay. You and Holmes is up to. Here you are, Bertie.
Cool, thanks.
And this is for you, Lionel, because you've been a good little boy.
This is a very big, is it? I wanted the dog.
Well, I'll bring you a dog next year, Lionel.
Dr. Watson.
Yes,
look at the wrapping on these presents, Doctor. Well, they're 20-pound notes.
Cut.
Oh, look what I got.
Now, let me see. Why... cufflinks and diamond and onyx ones, unless I'm very much mistaken.
I got pretty earrings. Look how they sparkle.
Let me see, Elsie. Oh. Good gracious, I swear that these are diamond rubies. What in thunder's going on?
I want my earring back. Give me back mine, too.
Well, here you are,
Dr. Watson, what do you suppose has happened?
I don't know, Mrs. Hudson. Perhaps my toys are still at the bottom of the sack. I can't understand it. Oh. I wish Holmes were here instead of dozing in front of our fire in Baker Street.
Where are you, Holmes?
Here by the bed. This is the only room in the temple that gives any signs of having been lived in. I think our bird has been here, but I'm afraid he's flown. If Inspector Lestrade will get here. Strike a match, will you, Willicombe?
Right. Here's a candle on the table.
Oh, just as I feared. Look on the bed.
A red coat and a beard.
Yes, Lou the Lisper has discarded his disguise and gone. And with him, I'm afraid, your valuable presence.
Oh, wait a minute. Here's a sack lying on the floor. Oh, no, this isn't mine. Look what's in it. A toy dog. Large box of chocolates. Little girl's doll.
What in thunder? Well, this is Watson's sack.
But how on earth could Lou the Lisper have got hold of it?
Somewhere, somehow, he and Watson must have made an accidental change. Lou the Lisper is no doubt trying to track Watson down at this very moment. You must work fast, Whittingham, or my friend's life and those of Mrs. Hudson and her relatives won't be worth a tinker's damn.
Oh, now, Doctor, you can't break off your story there.
Oh, yes, I can, my boy.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
And now, what happened next, Doctor? We left you at the children's Christmas party, and Sherlock Holmes and Lord Whittingham around the corner at the Temple of the Octagonal Square.
Yes, Mr. Bartell, although at the time, of course, I had no idea what was going on. There I was, cheerfully handing out gifts worth, well, if not a king's, at least a baronet's ransom. While outside the Temple of the Octagonal Square, Holmes and Lord Whittingham were talking to Inspector Lestrade of Scotland Yard.
Yeah, seems to me, Lord Whittingham, you'd have been wiser to get in touch with Scotland Yard when you first got the warning note. We could have nabbed him when he came to your house and pinched the sack of presents.
Mr. Stroud, this is no time for post-mortems. We've got to reach Lou the Lisper before he finds Dr. Watson.
Do you suppose he can do that, Holmes?
It wouldn't be difficult. Lou the Lisper is nearly as clever as his master, Professor Moriarty. The chances are that you were followed when you came to Baker Street tonight, Whittingham, and it's equally likely that Watson and Mrs. Hudson were followed as they left it. Moriarty seldom leaves anything to chance.
Well, where did Dr. Watson go tonight?
28 Lexington Gardens. It's just around the corner from here.
Well, then let's go there at once.
Fight not quarry away. No, Lestrade. We must use a little subtlety. Now, Lou the Lisper wishes to recover that sack of presents from Watson. How would he invade the party with the least possible trouble?
By dressing up as Santa Claus again.
No, I think he's overplayed that role for one evening.
Well, then how would he try to get in, Mr. Holmes?
Oh, come now, Lestrade. What group of people can enter any house on Christmas Eve without invitation and without creating suspicion?
You can't.
Exactly, my dear fellow. I shouldn't be at all surprised if at this very moment Lou the Lisper and some of his gang are singing carols outside 28 Lexington Gardens.
Well, then what are we going to do?
Former rival choral society. How many of your men did you bring with you?
Three. A sergeant and two constables.
Wearing greatcoats?
Yes, Mr. Holmes. But why?
Good. They can hide their helmets and pretend to be singers. Come on. Let's go over there, and while we're walking, we'll rehearse our carols. We must appear reasonably convincing. Sangeray, Lestrade, Sangeray.
Thank you for a ride on your back, Santa Claus.
No, you mustn't make Santa Claus too tired,
Lyle. Oh, that's all right, Mrs. Hudson. Hop on, Lyle, hop on.
Isn't that
nice?
Can't they come inside and sing for us, Santa Claus?
Yes, of course they can. Ask them to come in, Mrs. Hudson, will you?
All right, sir.
Oh, come on, let me get on your back, too.
Oh, now, take it easy. Oh, there we go.
I want to see your reindeer, Santa.
See my reindeer? Oh, my dear brother, up on the roof.
I'll climb up and see him.
No, you mustn't do that. They're asleep. Oh, here are the carol singers. Off you get, children. There we go. That's it. Now, good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening, and Merry Christmas.
Would you like to sing some carols for the children? After that, I'm sure you'd like a drop of something to warm you up.
Well, thank you, sir. We should like that.
Haven't I met you before somewhere, my man?
No, sir. I'm sure you haven't. Come on, man. Let's sing Good King Wenceslas.
Good King Wenceslas looked out on a feast of Stephen.
Well, here we are outside the house, Mr. Holmes. Now watch.
Shh, shh, shh. Listen. Uh-huh. Lou the Lisper and his men are already there.
Are we going in now?
In a moment. Our men, you will have your truncheons handy?
Yes, Mr. Holmes, we're ready.
Splendid. Now remember, when we're inside and I yell Merry Christmas at the top of my voice, you bring out your truncheons and get Lou the Lisper and his gang out of there as quickly as possible. Don't arrest them until you get them outside again, Lestrade. I don't want to frighten the children.
Right you are, Mr. Holmes, we're ready. Just give us the word and we'll go in and get them.
Oh.
That was very nice singing. And now, how about something to warm you all up?
That won't be necessary, Dr. Watson. See to the door, Sammy. Now, all of you, stay right where you are.
Who are you? What do you think you're up to?
Please don't be difficult, Doctor. All I want is the jewels out of my sack that you stole from me tonight. If you try and stop me, I shall have to hurt you.
Why do you talk so funny? You got a cold like me.
Shut up. Now, Doctor, where are the jewels? Oh, curse it. There are some more carol singers outside.
Doctor, let me go away, Lou.
No, better let them come in. If we don't, they might get suspicious.
All right, Lou. First, you know what you're up to.
Now, no tricks, Doctor. If you try and give an alarm, I shall have to get rough with you.
Oh, I don't mind about that, but just remember that there are children present.
Oh, yeah, Manny. Hello here before you, eh? What you say? We all join a little carol for the Nimbus, eh?
All right. What do you want to sing?
Up the old angels sing, eh?
All right. Come on, man. Let's sing.
Up the angels sing, glory to the newborn king.
Merry Christmas!
They're all hitting each other with
crunches. Yeah, you can't do that. They're all going away.
Oh,
they're dragging each other out.
Hey,
come back here.
Oh, terrible.
Holmes, what in fun is going on?
I'll explain it to you later, old chap. Lestrade.
Yes, Miss Holmes.
Take them to Scotland Yard and prefer charges. I'll be over in a little while and give evidence.
Right you are, sir. Too bad we didn't catch Professor Moriarty, too.
Well, at least we have some of his cohorts. I'll see you later, Lestrade.
I wish I knew what was going on here. Is Moriarty mixed up in this business?
Yes, Watson. I'll tell you all about it as soon as I've straightened this thing out. Now, Whittacombe.
Yes, Holmes.
The 20-pound notes that you used as wrapping for your gifts seem to have been scattered all over the house. Do you want me to recover them, too?
No. From what you've told me of the children, I think their parents could use the money much more profitably than my relatives. In any case, I can replace it.
A very generous Christmas gift. Well, children, did you enjoy the little game we staged for you?
It was enough fun.
Yes. I nearly died laughing when they started hitting each other.
I'm glad you enjoyed it, children. And now I want you to show me the presents you received.
I got these pretty earrings.
Oh, they were a part of the game, too. A nice little girl like you doesn't want silly earrings, Elsie. Here's a beautiful doll for you.
Cool. Her eyes open shut and everything.
And what did you get, my little man?
These.
Oh, cufflinks. Good gracious. Who wants cufflinks when you can have a clockwork train? You want to exchange?
Rain, Lord love a duck, yes.
I wanted a dog.
There's one for you, Lionel. A nice, nice woolly dog.
Oh, good.
And here's a nice... Here you are, Julie. Here's a nice big box of chocolates, too. You can all share them.
Oh, Lummy, what a night. I ain't had as much fun since Granny got her finger stuck in a plug-o.
I still don't understand what's going on, Holmes, but I must say, this has all the earmarks of...
It's
been a happy Christmas.
Yes, oh, Mrs. Hudson.
Hi, Mr. Holmes.
How's the turkey coming along?
Oh, it'll be ready in a few minutes, Mr. Holmes.
Splendid. And while we're waiting, perhaps the children will oblige with something we haven't heard so far.
Yes, I know what you mean. A Christmas carol that really sounds convincing. How about it, children?
All right, sir. Come on, Elsie. Come on, Lionel.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm.
Well, Doctor, that was really a swell story. On a Christmas Eve like this, do you ever wish you were back in Baker Street celebrating Christmas there?
At times, yes, but actually, Mr. Bartell, I'm very happy right here in my little home. There on the table's a beautiful little Christmas tree. There's a fine fire in my fireplace. My two dogs, Monty and Winnie, are sleeping peacefully at my feet. And best of it all, I've got the love of every child in the neighborhood. Yes, I got a great deal this Christmas Eve. Lots to be thankful for. And what with the troubles of the world on their way to being settled, it looks as if this is the brightest Christmas that I've ever had.
Well, that's how I feel about it, too, Doctor.
I hope that all our friends listening in are just as happy this Christmas Eve as we are. And speaking not only for myself, but I know for all of us and for the Petrie family, too, we wish every one of you a happy Christmas from the bottom of our hearts. God rest ye merry, gentlemen.
Well, Dr. Watson, next Monday is New Year's Eve. What story do you plan to tell us?
One that I think you'll find extremely appropriate, Mr. Bartell. It takes place in a Scottish castle near Edinburgh on a New Year's Eve in 1900 and concerns a pair of lovers, an elderly baronet, and a strange iron box that proved to be more than worth its weight in gold.
Tonight's Sherlock Holmes adventure was written by Dennis Green and Anthony Boucher and was suggested by an incident in the Sir Arthur Conan Doyle story, The Adventure of the Blue Carbuncle. Music is by Dean Fossler. Mr. Rathbone appears through the courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer and Mr. Bruce through the courtesy of Universal Pictures, where they are now starring in the Sherlock Holmes series. Sherlock Holmes comes to you from our Hollywood studios.
From December of 1945, it's been The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes with The Night Before Christmas. Well, I'm afraid that's all the time we have today, but join us again next week and invite a friend to listen to more great moments from the golden age of radio. I'm Craig Roberts with those fabulous days of yesteryear. Till next time, so long.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. The comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite shows. Radio, I miss you, sodio, vodio, dodio, do.
Preceding program copyright Edgewater Productions, all rights reserved.